B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
On the line with us right now, a man who got to know Kobe Bryant rather well over his near 30-year NBA refereeing career. Ladies and gentlemen, Joey Crawford joins us. Good morning, Joey.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It is an honor to have you on here on our Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on. I'm asking everyone we have on to talk about Kobe Bryant, where they were and how they found out. What was the circumstance for you?
My son-in-law is the assistant women's basketball coach at LaSalle University, and I was at his game on Sunday, and I was just sitting there watching the game, and I was looking at everybody. They're on their phones. And finally, this young lady turns and says, Kobe died. And, everybody was in shock, but that's where I found it. It was an awful day, awful.
I'm sure, and I know you got to know him well over your long career. What was your introduction to Kobe Bryant in the NBA?
Well, you know, I guess really way, way back. When I first was pursuing the NBA as a ref, I worked in the Baker League in Philly, and Kobe wasn't even born. And, his father, Jelly Bean, was a great player, and all the pro players back then played. And I knew Kobe's grandfather. He used to sit and watch. You know, there used to be doubleheaders, and if I had the second game, I'd go early, obviously. And I sit sometimes and watch the games with Kobe's grandfather. And that's how far we go back. And then, obviously, working Jelly Bean's games when he was in the NBA. I think he was with Philly and Houston. But when he came into the league, when Kobe came into the league, see, my daughters played basketball in the Philly area. Everybody, you know, in Philly were in the basketball world, were all intertwined. And my kids played, and they were around the same age as Kobe. So they knew one another. And Kobe, when he was first in the league, he called me Mister. And I say, Kobe, not here. But he was just, it's just an awful. I just feel so bad for the Bryant family. You know, because again, we go so far back, you know, Chubby Cox and all the Bryants, and then used to go to the Baker League games. And back then it was used to be, it was really a great league. One time a year in the summertime, Sunny Hill and the Baker League people used to have a pro all-star game. And Jelly Bean played and all that stuff. And it was just fabulous. And so that's how far I go back with that family. So this is, it's just a weird, weird feeling. You know, Mark Wunderlich, who works with me.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Bob and I, we traveled the roads together. Mark and I talk about it, you know, when it first happened. He called me also, and it's just, when we talk about it, it's just weird. You can't shake the feeling. You know, I'm sitting here this morning doing tape, you know, watching referees and tape and sending plays to referees and things like that. That's part of my job today. And you just can't shake the feeling. You feel awful. You know, it's just a terrible, terrible feeling. Not only for the Bryant family, but the basketball community in Philly. Everybody's hurting. You know, it's just a strange, strange feeling.
And Joey, talking about watching the game like you just did, watching tape, and you and I have had this conversation. It's always struck me how differently people watch games. And you and I have sat at games. You watch them as a referee. I could watch them as a reporter, as a father, as a coach. Like, you watch them differently. So you were on the court many, many, many times with Kobe Bryant. Did you ever find yourself? I know you have to look at the game a certain way. But did something ever stick out, or did things ever stick out to you about him as a player?
No, you know what? With those great players like that, you're a referee. You don't look at it the way you look at it. Again, you just said that. What you're doing is you're trying to, if somebody's that great, the other team's trying to take advantage of them. They're beating them up. That's our job. Our job is, everybody says the superstar, protect this. That's so far from the truth. What you're doing is you're making sure that that other team doesn't beat the hell out of them. And that's your job. And so when you're working those games, when you're refereeing those games, that's how you're approaching the game. Because everybody in the whole building knows who's getting the ball.
Right.
I mean, that's just part of being a great player. So, but also the downfall of being a ref is that you really can't appreciate those great moments. You know, I was on the floor. I was really a lucky guy. Mark Wunderlich and I were talking about it yesterday. I was really a lucky guy. I was in every one of those finals that he was in. And I didn't work every game, but I worked a game in those series. And that young man was as tough a player as I've ever seen. I mean, he just rose to the occasion. But you can't appreciate that kind of stuff when you're reffing. When you're reffing, you're just hoping that the opposing team doesn't send somebody out there to beat the heck out of them. Because I think if you really go back to the, you know how the jump shooter takes a shot and the defender puts their foot in his landing space?
Yeah.
Well, I think that comes back. Well, not I think. I know it comes back to Kobe and Bruce Bowen. That's how far that goes back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the example of that I'm trying to bring up, is that that's how you're approaching the game. And you didn't want the opposing team to take advantage of Kobe because of his greatness. Doesn't mean you give him anything, but you have to make sure that the other team doesn't take advantage of him.
Joey, what game in 2001 when the Sixers and Lakers played each other, which game did you have there and what do you remember about it?
I had game one in L.A.
So you had the step-over game.
I did, and I didn't react to that step-over either. That's been the story of my career.
One of the many.
Yeah. I should have hit Iverson with a T then. But he.
Oh, God, Joey, you can't do that. Come on.
But then I had game five when they won it.
Oh, okay.
So what? Because they won four straight, right, Bob?
Yeah. The step over, the Sixers won, and then LA won four straight.
Yeah. So I had game one and game five, but his I'll cut your throat mentality was just his persona and what he was, and you appreciate that stuff. I mean, as much as I knew that young man, he would come after you. He was a competitive man. And if he thought that he got hit on a play and you didn't react to it, he came after you. Now, I don't know whether, you know, I ever hit him with a T or anything like that. I don't remember stuff like that. But he was very, very, very in tuned for those 48 minutes.
I'm sure, Joey, but speaking of tacticals, let's just go back to this real quick to sidetrack. How close were you to teeing up Allen Iverson for stepping over Tyronn Lue?
How many years? I can't remember yesterday.
Okay, you know what? We'll sit down sometime. We'll watch it again because this is something that I really need to know and want to dive in further.
I don't know. I don't know if I was the closest ref to it.
you're an O'Hara guy, right? You're a Cardinal O'Hara guy?
Yes, a very, very lion, a lion for life.
I'm a Wood guy. I'm telling you right now, Cardinal O'Hara would disown you.
Yeah.
Joey, here's the interesting thing. Speaking with Joey Crawford, former referee over 2,000 NBA games. Joey, when you look back and you listen to a lot of these players talk about the intensity of Kobe Bryant and what a competitor he was, what was that like stepping on the court as the guy that's supposed to be the authority on the court as the official to know that that type of heat would be waiting for you if there was a call he didn't agree with?
Yeah, but that's every night. That's nothing new. Yeah, that's just part of what you do as an NBA ref. You expect that. You're going at it. Doesn't matter if it's the Pacers and the Clippers. You're going to have somebody on that floor Dante Sabonis or Victor Oladipo or the Clippers, you got Kawhi Leonard and all these guys. So that's just every night in our world. And that's your job. Your job is to go out to call the plays. And that's it, it's really nothing different. Everybody wants to make this big deal out of, this player or that player, but it's the same thing every night. It's just our players are so great. It's a constant in our league. It's a constant.
Joey, did you ever allow yourself, whether it was while you were reffing or after you got out and you're doing your cushy job now, do you ever allow yourself to go back seriously and watch the games differently and maybe absorb a Kobe Bryant or a Michael Jordan or guys that you were on the floor with a little bit differently?
I haven't done that because I'm a ref. And people, I don't think, actually believe that, but I'm a ref. And when I look at a game, I look at the game as a ref. When I'm up Sunday, when I was watching my son-in-law's game at LaSalle, I watch it as a ref. It's awful, but that's how I watch games. And I don't look back. You walk in a locker room. I remember walking in a locker room and somebody, they bring the box score in afterwards, and somebody would say, well, Kobe had 40. I didn't know he had 4. No, really, that's how you approach it. You don't know that. If you know what somebody's doing out on the court as scoring points and all that stuff, you're not a ref.
Joey, last thing for you.
Sure.
When you heard the news, when you found out, when you're at your the basketball game at LaSalle, was there a play? Was there anything that you went back to outside of just knowing the family for as long as you've known them, the Bryant family? Was there a particular game or anything jumped to mind when you first thought of what had happened or first learned about Kobe Bryant's passing?
There was very strange, and it had nothing to do with games or performances. As Bob knows, our players go through these rituals. And you don't talk, I very rarely talk to players before games because they have their game face on, and so does the ref. But there are certain times, like at the end of the season, they may have had a playoff spot done and clinched, and Kobe would come out for the captain's meeting, and we would just have maybe a brief discussion. And what stuck out to me when I told Kobe that I used to sit and watch games with his grandfather in the Baker League. And he looked at me like, oh my. I said, Kobe, I actually sat there and would watch a game with your grandfather. And he was taken back by that. But I also told him that, I said, that most of the guys that they knew Jelly Bean was playing, a lot of people would go to the games not to see Jelly Bean, but to see his wife because Kobe's mother was so beautiful. and he got a kick out of that. And you know what? To be able to share those types of moments versus the competition and Kobe screaming at you and you screaming back. They're pretty good moments that a lot of people in our NBA world don't know happened. But they were good. That was a great thought. I cherish that thought, to be honest with you.
Did Jelly Bean ever say, hey, that wasn't a travel on my kid? Or did he ever say that wasn't a foul on my kid?
No.
Or stop looking at my wife.
Yeah, maybe you get called for the violation there.
I've screwed a lot of plays up, but it wasn't because of that.
Joey Crawford, an absolute. It was great talking to you. Thanks for coming on and remembering Kobe in the way that you did. And I guess I could say this also. Thank you for not teeing up Allen Iverson in the 0-1 finals.
condolences to the Bryant family and the Philadelphia basketball family.
Joey, thanks so much.
Safe travels, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.